In Los Angeles, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Friday is where we are. The 21st of October is when we are. It is good to have you along, everybody. End of the week, 5 minutes of live radio, the entire global economy to talk about. It's a little thing we like to call the weekly wrap. For that, we've got Felix Salmon from Reuters, Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine. They are both sitting in our tiny little studios in New York City. Hey, everybody.
They're comfy.
I like to say cozy. Well, you're in the small
cozy.
One there. I can see you on the TV.
For New York, it's spacious. Let's face it.
That's right. I don't want to know what we're paying per square foot. So let's talk global here for a second. Felix, we'll start with you. China and its GDP came out this week, 6.7%, if you believe it, but it's what everybody expected. Across the pond, there's Brexit weighing upon the pound. We had inflation here this week in line with expectations. Where stand we global economy-wise?
I think everyone is doing just fine, except for Britain, which has basically voted to fall off into the North Sea and become an irrelevant island off the coast of Europe. So Britain is dreadful. I don't think that there's much in the way of Brexit repercussion globally, though.
All right. Lee, you're happy with how things stand here, domestic?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I agree with Felix that the UK is a problem, but I think that the falling currency is actually going to soften the blow a little bit. It's a great time to go to
London.
Mm-hmm. Here, look, I think we're muddling along. I think there's no cause for huge concern. I think there's a lot of uncertainty around the election. I think in corporate America, there's other issues. There's tremendous disruption happening everywhere you turn. Mm-hmm. That's unrelated to the economy. But
Lee, there's no uncertainty about the election. I mean, there is literally no uncertainty about the election.
But the same thing that's fueling the unrest in this country is fueling what happened in Brexit. I think there is this sense of global disenfranchisement. I mean, I think there is this feeling
and general discontent, even after the
election, it doesn't go away after the election. It doesn't.
Right. Felix, do you disagree with that?
No, I agree that there is an uprising, not just in Britain and the U.S., but in many countries, and that politicians are getting something of a wake-up call. I just don't think that anyone is really worried about what's going to happen on November the 8th.
No, but let's take it to November the 9th, right, and talk about what happens, not in the Dow or stocks or any of that jazz, but the economic future of this country as we move past this really divisive election. And what companies make of that, Felix?
What companies are going to have on November the 9th is another 4 years of continuity, which is the absolute best that they can hope for. And if anyone tells you that they can see out further than 4 years, they're, you know, trying to sell you a bridge. Just like no one can do this. This is the most stable 12-year period of, you know, that we could have hoped for. And I think that, you know, it's easy to worry about like long-term demographic trends and the like, but I think now is not actually the right time to do that worrying.
Is there no, Lee, discontent from having to bring back into the fold, economically speaking, people who might not have voted for the winner?
I think there's some of that. I think the continued unrest is probably going to be more felt on the social side. And I think the rebuilding of the Republican Party, however it begins to do that, I think is a long-term problem and issue. I think the kind of anti-free trade message is something that we're going to have to grapple with. But
we were hoping that TPP would go through. TPP isn't going to go through, so there's that.
Yeah. All right, let's change gears here. We'll get to the corporate sort of reportage of the day. This proposed or rumored deal between AT&T to buy Time Warner, that is a big deal in the content and pipeline space. Lee?
It is. It sort of takes us back. I mean, that was, remember, AOL Time Warner? That was all about content meets carriage. But it's a different world now, and everything is converging. I mean, look at, you know, Verizon and AOL and Yahoo. I mean, AT&T already, you know, made this play for video with DirecTV, and now it's trying to bring everything
and
together.
And Comcast has already bought NBC.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And they just threw another $200 million into BuzzFeed. So, yeah, the content and the pipes are coming back together again.
Well, so sort of along those lines, just on content and how it gets out there. And we've got a piece from Kimberly Adams coming up after the break here in a minute. But this denial of service attack that's been happening on the East Coast today, shutting down a whole bunch of these companies, Felix, is there a concern about our fragility, I guess?
The internet is surprisingly robust,
I haven't been able to get to Twitter all day, yo? Come on.
I don't know. I learned about it on Facebook, which was kind of meta.
Oh, that is too funny. Oh, that is too funny. But Felix, you're not concerned?
No, I am concerned. I feel like there's a huge amount of complexity in the information infrastructure of the globe, and wherever you have complexity, you can have catastrophic failure. And what we're seeing now, I think, is really just a taste of what is possible, either just by mistake or thanks to a malign actor. Either way, things can go horribly wrong, and we've been pretty lucky up until now, to be honest.
Mm-hmm. All right, we got to go. That's Lee Gallagher from Fortune Magazine, Felix Salmon from Reuters. They both flew in from the West Coast in time to be on
Fusion,
our broadcast
darling.
Today. Thanks. Oh, I'm sorry. Fusion, darling. I almost did it like two times ago. Anyway, got to go. Bye. Have a good weekend.
Thanks, Kai.
All right, we'll see you.